Once again, I thank everyone for joining. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Sukumar Gaurdas Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic Srimad Bhagavatam verse 5.15.7. To give brief introduction about Prabhuji, I would like to hand over the call to Raj Prabhuji. Hare Krishna Raj Prabhuji. Dandavat
Hare
Pranam.
Krishna Mati.
Dandavat Pranam. All wish to Srila Prabhupada and Gurudev. Please take over the call and give brief introduction. Hare Krishna. Thank
Hare
you.
Krishna Mataji. Namo Pranam to you and all the assembled devotees on the call. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. This is a brief introduction for Prabhuji. Sukumar Gaur Prabhuji was born in Maharashtra, India in 1980. Brought up in a social background where spirituality was often questioned. Later, he developed a natural taste for inquiry into the mysteries of God's creation. Prabhuji passed mechanical engineering in Pune in 2003. Same year, he came in touch with the devotees of ISKCON. He found all his questions answered in the books of Srila Prabhupada. As a student of MBA Finance, he studied Srila Prabhupada books and became a sincere practitioner. He joined the NCDEX Mumbai as assistant manager and worked for 3 years. Later, Prabhuji took on a 2-year Brahmachari training course in Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple, Mumbai, and was initiated into the Brahma Madhava Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj in 2010. He was in the youth preaching department and was in the seva of guiding the youth. He always wanted to share his joy of Krishna consciousness with the youth. So he gave up his job and decided to help the misguided youth by helping them understand the message of Bhagavad Gita. He joined ISKCON Chopati as a resident in 2009. Later, he was posted to ISKCON Nasik Temple. He's serving as a youth counselor in various colleges of Nasik. Prabhuji conducts seminars on personality development topics in educational and corporate sectors. This is a brief introduction for Prabhuji. Up to you, Mataji. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Raj Prabhuji.
Hare go.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. Please accept Krishna our humble obeisances. Always to Srila Prabhupada and Gurudev. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your very valuable time and association. I would like to hand over the call to you. Please take over the call, Prabhuji.
Yeah, Hare Krishna. Just a moment, Mataji. Hare Krishna. So we welcome all devotees for this Srimad Bhagavatam session. So we will start with our Mangalacharan. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stabidam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalan Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Sagunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakangitam Shri Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namustute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha kalpatarupyascha kripasandubhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha namo vishnupadaya krishna prestaya bhutale shrimate bhaktivedanta swami natanamine namaste saraswate deve gauravani pracharine nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatya deshatarine jai shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhar shri vasadi gaur bhakta vrinda hare krishna 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 hare 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 ram 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 hare 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 krishna So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam canto 5 Chapter 15 and text number 7. So since it is a prose, we'll directly take the translation and purport, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. King Gaya gave full protection and security to the citizens so that their personal property would not be disturbed by undesirable elements. He saw that there was sufficient food to feed the people. This is called as poshana. He would sometimes distribute gifts to the citizens and satisfy them. This is called prinan. He would sometimes call meeting and satisfy the citizens with sweet words. This is called upalalana. He would also give them good instructions to how to become first-class citizens. This is called anushasan. Such were the characteristics of King Gaya's royal order. Beside all this, King Gaya was a householder who strictly observed the rules and regulation of household life. He performed sacrifices and was an unalloyed pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was called Mahapurusha because as a king, he gave the citizens all facilities, and as a householder, he executed all his duties so that at the end, he became a strict devotee of Lord Krishna. As a devotee, he was always ready to give respect to other devotees and to engage in devotional service of the Lord. This is Bhakti Yoga process. Due to all the transcendental activities, King Gaya was always free from bodily conception. He was full in Brahman realization and consequently he became jubilant. He did not experience material lamentation. Although he was perfect in all respects, he was not proud nor was he anxious to rule the kingdom. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, he descends to the earth. He has two types of business: to give protection to the faithful and annihilate the demons. Paritranaya sadhuna vinashaya chatushkritam. Since the king is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is sometimes called as Naradeva, that is, Lord as human being. According to the Vedic injunctions, he is worshipped as God on the material platform. As the representative of the Supreme Lord, the king had the duty to protect the citizens in the perfect way so that they would not be anxious for food and protection and so that they would be jubilant. The king would supply everything for the benefit, and because of this he would levy taxes. If the king or government otherwise levies taxes on the citizens, he is responsible for the sinful activities of the citizens. In Kali Yuga, monarchy is abolished because the king themselves are subjected to the influence of Kali Yuga. It is understood from Ramayana that when Vibhishan became friends with Lord Ramchandra, he promised that if by chance or will he broke the law or friendship with Lord Ramchandra, he would become a Brahmana or king in Kali Yuga. In this age, as Vibhishan indicated, both Brahmana and the kings are in wretched condition. Actually, there are no kings or Brahmana in this age, and due to their absence, the whole world is in a chaotic condition and is always in distress. Compared to the present standards, Maharaj Gaya was a true representative of Lord Vishnu. Therefore, he was known as a Mahapurusha. Hare Krishna. So we welcome all devotees for this Srimad Bhagavatam class. I am so grateful to all of you for allowing to make a presentation on Srimad Bhagavatam, a very powerful and pertinent purport given by Srila Prabhupada. Basically, in this purport, we are reminded of our King Bharat Maharaj by these words, especially which Prabhupada uses for the king doing some favors in terms of providing some necessities to the people. Prabhupada's writing here in his purport how King Gaya was doing all those things for his own people. Here the words used are poshana. He saw that there was sufficient food to feed all the citizens. He would distribute gifts to the citizens and satisfy them. This is called as preenan. He would also call meetings and satisfy them with sweet words. This is called upalalana. He would also give them good instructions and so that they could become first class citizens. This is called anushasan. And here we see that exactly all these things were done by our King Bharat also. When the deer entered his life, he was doing the same thing, Poshan. He was trying to feed the deer by providing him fresh grass and whatever was required for his maintenance. Then he was satisfying him, preenan, by giving him various gifts. Preenan, especially in Hindi, we call preenan means laad pyar karna. He was trying to console him and give him a good time, basically, especially on the level of mind and body. So he, when the deer would come close to him while he was performing his puja, and the deer would touch him with his mouth, or sometimes he would touch him with his feet. But then he would allow him to touch, and when the deer would put his mouth in all the puja articles, he would scold him as if he would, and yes, like a lover scolds his beloved, so he would scold him. So that is called as preenan. And he would, just like here, King Gaya satisfied the citizens with sweet words. It's called upalalana. So King Bharat also used to call the deer as his my dear son. He made him, he thought about the deer as his own son. That means atmajaha. Atmajaha means one is born from his own body. So the deer became so close to the heart of Maharaj Bharat that he started calling him with sweet words, upalalana. He was doing the lalan, means talking to him with sweet words, even though the deer didn't understand what Maharaj Bharat was saying. But still he considered him as his own child and was maintaining him. But the last point Bharat Maharaj failed to do, that was to give him good instructions to become a first-class citizen. And this he failed to do in terms of the deer, because deer was not capable of understanding the instructions that he could, so that he could make any progress in his spiritual life. So it is nice that the king does this activity of poshana, preenan, upalalana, but ultimately all this has to bring the dependent to become a first-class citizen, a first-class follower of the Vedic Dharma, or the path that has been given by the Supreme Lord, that is called anushasana. If there is no anushasana, then there is no use of all doing all these things. And when anushasana doesn't work, then what happens is what we call as the war of Mahabharata, that is bound to happen. Just like if we see Krishna, Krishna did poshana, preenan, all this, even for the Kauravas, he gave them a lot of chances. That indeed was a great favor of Lord Krishna towards the Kauravas, especially towards Duryodhan and Dushasan and his father Dhritarashtra. He even satisfied them by becoming a messenger. He did all that for them also. Upalalana. All the while, he allowed them to be praised with sweet words. He accepted their services in the Rajasuya Yajna done by Yudhishthir Maharaj, all the three Rajasuya Yajnas. And at the end, when he came as a messenger, he tried to give the lessons of Anushasana. He tried to tell them about the realities of life and how the world he has created works on. That is why Prabhupada is quoting the verse from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, where he is saying that So the entire Gita, we see that if we read the 12th chapter, 12.8 to 12.12, we see that Krishna deals with every single individual based on the level on which he is functioning. He would not tell anybody and everybody, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Bhajami. No. Krishna hasn't done that. He hasn't even done for Duryodhan, what to speak of any ordinary living being. So Krishna knows when to tell Sarvadharman Parityajya and whom to tell Sarvadharman Parityajya. So Krishna is more concerned about the gradual development of a living entity. It is an organic growth. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavad Gita is all about organic growth of a sadhaka. It is not a random growth, just like we have mangoes during mango season, and some of them are chemically ripened and some of them are naturally ripened. The one that gives the best taste is the one that is naturally ripened when it is in touch with the tree. Others, which is raw and is brought in touch with some chemicals, and the next few days it becomes ripened. But if you taste it, it will not taste as sweet as the one which has been ripened on a tree. So Gita is about gradual progression. It is more about an organic growth of a jiva rather than some putting him into some artificial procedure of growth. And that is what we see in Mahabharata as well. According to the thinking capabilities and the surrender of the every particular individual, Krishna has acted with various people. With Dhritarashtra, he acted differently. With Duryodhana, he acted differently. With Karna, he was ready to give him the kingdom. But for Duryodhana, he didn't do that. He said, give me at least 5 villages. But can you imagine, to Karna, Krishna is saying, I'll give you the entire kingdom and Yudhishthir Maharaj will fan you. But he didn't say that to Duryodhana, because he knew that even though Karna was a very good friend or was trying to be loyal to Duryodhana, but at the end he had some connection with Maharani Kunti, who was a great devotee of the Lord. So seeing that side of Karna, he told him that, yes, I'm ready to part the entire kingdom with you. So that he didn't do with Duryodhana, because he felt that somewhere, seeing the connection with Kunti Maharani over a period of time, he may change. So here all these things are very wonderfully explained. But when this point of Anushasana is not there, there are two things in the Shastra, Daya and Danda. We know this. Daya is also required and Danda is also required, so that the person remains on the right path. If there is only Daya, then a person can become, he can stop following the rules. And when there is only Danda, then a person can become hard-hearted. He feels that there is no love in this world and he won't feel any attraction for the Supreme Lord. So the Supreme Lord always comes as two, not as one. He comes as Radha and Krishna. He comes as Lakshmi and Narayan. He comes as Sita and Ram. So first, there is always Sita, or there is always Lakshmi, or always Radha. Why? Because she is the Daya Shakti. So when Daya doesn't work, then the Lord has to enter and then Danda is allowed. And then Danda. But when does the Lord give that punishment? Exclusively when the Daya Shakti is withdrawn. Just like we see Lord Ramchandra, he has never killed any living entity when Mata Sita was present before him. He never did that. He never killed anybody. He punished, but he never killed anybody. And that is where Radharani, Sita says, you are always behind punishing this jivas. They are simple. They are under 3 modes. They are in so much of pain. And so that is where Mata Sita takes a promise from Lord Ramchandra, that in your next incarnation, you will not pick up a single weapon. And that is what exactly Krishna did. Right from his childhood, he didn't use a single weapon. He used his hands, he used his feet, he used whatever, anything other than weapon, everything he used. But he didn't use a weapon because he had promised Mother Sita that he won't be using any weapon against any jiva who has come to him. So we see that the Lord is always ready to accept, but when the jiva is not ready to get Anushasana, not ready to get trained, then he has to use something that we call as Shiksha or Danda, and that is how he is being trained. So it is not about punishment, it is about reformation of the jiva that we have to understand. Most of the time, Shastras are seen as something where the Lord is always punishing, but that punishment is also for the good of the jiva. So here, Prabhupada is writing that the king is the representative of Lord Krishna. He is the representative of the Supreme Lord who has made all the Shastras, and he is the lawmaker. So We see in the lives of our own Gaudiya Acharyas also, we see Srila Rup Sanatan Goswami when they were working for the Badshah of Bengal. When the king used to enter the assembly, both of them used to get up and respect him as if he is the real representative of the Supreme Lord. Even though he was not acting as per the Shastras, but since he was given the authority or somehow because of his karma or whatever things, he was the king at that time, they respected him as if he was the representative of the Supreme Lord. So we see this in lives of our own Acharyas as well. So who is a representative? What is the meaning of a representative? One who speaks the mind of whom he is representing is called as a representative. Just like the tongue is the representation of the entire body. What if something wrong is happening in the body, it is first understood when the doctor sees your tongue. It is as simple as that. Whatever is happening in the nature is first seen on the skin of a frog. This is what they say. The skin of the frog is a representation of the entire cosmic climatic changes or whatever changes are happening. So it is reflected there on their body. Any change in nature is reflected there. Similarly, what is happening in the nature is seen here. Similarly, what is going on in the mind of the Supreme Lord, that same thing has to be understood by the representative of the Supreme Lord. And that is why he's called as a representative. Understand what Krishna wants that person to do for the general masses. So representative is not an individual post. It is not a post for sense enjoyment or self-enjoyment. It is exclusively made Krishna, not for that one person, but for the entire masses about whom Krishna is thinking. So this point has to be very, very clear. So the entire Gita is not about creating leaders. Yes, indeed, it is about creating leaders. But what to do after creating those leaders? It is to think about the benefit of the general masses. That is what is a representative of Lord Krishna, who understands the minds of Lord Krishna. And so in 14.2, this is 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, second shloka, Krishna says, idam jnanam upashritya mam sadharmyam agatah sarge api na upajayante pralaye na vyathayante. He is saying, idam jnanam, this knowledge of jiva niyantrak and prakriti, Ishwara, jiva and prakriti, that I gave to you in the 13th chapter, upashritya, upashritya, ashritya means what? One who takes shelter of this knowledge. Mam sa dharmyam agatah. He will achieve the same nature as mine because he will understand the reality. So the entire Gita is meant so that we can have the same nature as that of Krishna. We already have that nature, but now that nature is covered. So for that, idam jnanam, we need this knowledge. And what will happen when one is fixed in this knowledge? Sarge api na upajayante. What will happen? Sarge means creation. Api na upajayante. He will not be born again. Pralayena vyathayantisha. And during his death, he will not be vyathayanti. He will not be disturbed during the pralay. Own pralay or seeing the death of others. So Krishna is so eager to give the knowledge about himself because he wants mama sadharmyam, so that people can acquire the same nature as his. I'll tell you a real story. Just few days ago, we had one Mataji here, one of our dear brahmacharis. She was his real aunt. So she was diagnosed with cancer. And till the time she was in Nasik, she was doing good. Means cancer wasn't troubling her so much. It was quite in control. She was healthy, eating, and her life was normal. But what happened was her son got transferred to Mumbai from Nasik. And he said, because already 2 years in lockdown, he was not on job. He was completely in her service. She was chanting 16 rounds. She had great love for Lord Jagannath, cooking for him, making dresses for him. All simple activities she used to do for Lord Jagannath. A very, very attached to Lord Jagannath. And at the same time, she was not a very learned lady, but she always liked to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. She used to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And when I took the first, second and third canto in Hindi, she used to daily hear all those classes. And till with me, she completed all the three cantos. But then after that, due to something, I also stopped taking the series, fourth canto series. So she was very eager to complete Bhagavatam. But then all the while, she didn't. She was also dealing with the disease and her son got transferred in Mumbai. And after she got transferred in Mumbai, unfortunately, her health started deteriorating at a very fast pace. And what happened was, before she left, a few months ago before she left, maybe 2 or 3 months before she left, by then she had already started reading on her own fourth canto. She had started fourth canto. So 8 cantos were still remaining. And one day at night, what happened was, she saw you won't call it a dream, but it was a vision for her, because she was speaking in that vision. So two very divine personalities she saw. She saw two divine personalities and they said, okay, now your time is up. So we are here to get you back to Krishna. So she said, no, I can't come with you. They asked, why? She said, I have not yet completed Srimad Bhagavatam. I need some time to complete Srimad Bhagavatam. And those people smiled and they left. And when they left, she started Bhagavat at such a fast pace that within 1 week, she used to complete canto by canto by canto. And the day she finished Srimad Bhagavatam, full 12 cantos, and she thought, now maybe I have some more time. She started Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the week she started Chaitanya Charitamrita, that was her last week. And within 12 hours, she left her body. She already had that sadharmyam. She already had that deep connection with Krishna. And the most important part was that she was not initiated. Her name was on the list just a week or 5 days before she left was her initiation by His Holiness Loknath Swami Maharaj. So the entire process of knowledge is meant to get that sadharmyam. Sadharmyam means achieving the same nature as that of Krishna. Same nature means the nature exactly should match with Krishna. Just like to enter fire, we have to become fire. So to enter spiritual world, we will have to have the nature of Lord Krishna. Then you may be anybody. Even the Gopikas are not spared when they get distracted from the nature of Lord Krishna. When a spiritual pride touches the heart of the gopis, Krishna leaves them because there is no sadharma. What to speak of the gopis? Even Srimati Radharani was not spared when there was no sadharma, when her nature didn't match with the nature of Lord Krishna. So this entire Gita, we'll be celebrating Gita Jayanti tomorrow. So the entire focus of Gita is to achieve this sadharma. So that there is sargi api na upajayante, there is no more birth, and pralaye na vithyanti cha. And while we are staying in this material world, there is no disturbance of anything that is coming in our life. So the knowledge of prakriti, purusha and jiva is most important for us. We have to be constantly in touch with that knowledge, because everything that we're trying to enjoy is depending upon the Paramatma, because he is the one who facilitates our enjoyment here in this material. He facilitates our stay in this material world. By Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadatikam. Because he is the one, Yo Vidadatikam, and he is the fulfiller of everyone's desire, even of the liberated and even of the conditioned soul. He is the one who, from whom everyone is generated, and he is the one who fulfills everybody's desires. So he is the one who maintains and gives them the facility to fulfill their desires, giving facility to enjoy according to their desires. If he is a Shuddha Bhakta, spiritual desires. If he is a Sadhaka, mixed. And if he is a materialist, then he has material desires. So we know it's Krishna who is the facilitator of our desires by supplying resources through the prakriti. Now we know that the jiva is now entangled in the prakriti. We know there are two kinds of people, 15.16, Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Dvavimo purusho loke kshara akshara evacha. One is fallible, one is infallible. Fallible means those who are staying in the material world, who have fallen from the spiritual world. Kshara sarvani bhutani kutastakshara uchyate. But even amongst them, there is one who is supreme. Who is that? Uttama purushastu anya. Parmatmeti udadrita. Yo loko trayam avishya. Vivarti Avyayeshwara. He is the one who has entered Avyayeshwara, means he has entered all the planets and everything. Vivarti Avyayeshwara is that Avyayeshwara who is Vivarti, who maintains everybody. But the point here is the Jiva has come here to enjoy the Prakriti. Purusho Prakriti Stopi Bhunte Prakriti Janguna. Karanam guna sangasya sad asad yoni janma. So the sad and asad yoni janma is not because of Krishna. He is not responsible. He is just a facilitator. Bhunte prakriti has come here to enjoy the matter. And that is why he is entangled here. So even though Krishna is maintaining, look at this beautiful point that Prabhupada brings out here. Krishna says, I have Purusha Prakriti Stopi. Purusha means here the Jiva is called as Purusha. Prakriti Stopi is the, is staying in this material world. Bhunte Prakriti Janu. There is his desire to enjoy the material world. And accordingly, things will follow. Krishna says, I will not interfere there. So there is no micromanagement done by Krishna. Once, His Holiness, there was a GBC meeting. And in GBC meeting, all the senior leaders of our community, of our society were asking His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj that how is it that you are running so many projects, but all of them are successful at the same time. That is where Maharaj said that I handle so many projects, that is one thing. But when I handle the projects, I don't do micromanagement. I allow my disciples to use their intelligence and based on my teaching, take decisions. Similarly, Krishna here is not doing micromanagement. You do like this, you do like this. Duryodhana, you behave like this. Karna, you behave like this. Arjuna, you... No, there is no micromanagement. He has left it to us. So where is the question that we should doubt that Krishna has not given us freedom? Krishna is not doing micromanagement. He has left to the Prakriti. This is the whole menu card, 84 lakh species, whatever my child wants, give it to him. There is no micromanagement here. Krishna doesn't like micromanagement. He has left it to the Jiva. What you want, I am always with you. No doubt in that. You don't worry about my part. I'll do my part perfectly. The day you feel you want me, come back to me. That day I'll accept you. So Krishna creates the facility to guide the general masses. So the entire Gita is to guide the general masses, but the masses follow somebody and hence the somebody is made the king whom they follow. But whom we choose is the main problem in this part of democracy. And that is why Prabhupada is saying in Kali Yuga all are cheated because the leaders are not pure and the brahmanas are not pure. Because they are, they themselves are being led by their senses, which are impure, filled with material desires. So Krishna wants a person, he wants to choose a person who can be his representative, who knows the mindset of Krishna and can direct the mindset of the jivas towards Krishna. So there are two things, there are two words that Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam use. They use two words, there is called a jantu and there is called a jiva. When we visit a doctor and we are not able to gain weight or we are not able to digest food properly, then the doctor will send our body parts or some pieces to the experimentation. And then they will find out that there is something called as microorganisms in the body. Like somebody may have tapeworms or some other kind of worms in the body. So they are called a jantu. Why they are called a jantu? Because they stay in somebody else's body as a parasite. They depend upon others for their survival. They take everything from others, but at the same time, they hurt the one whom they are dependent on. That is why they are called a jantu. But there is something called as a jiva. He is ready to act as per the authority, just like in our own stomach, there is a group of organisms. So it is called as gut. Gut is our second brain. The modern science says that the gut is our second brain. So there is 1.5 kgs of this organism who, if we keep our gut healthy, can bring a great revolution in our body. They are ready to handle any kind of disease, may it be cancer or any life-threatening disease. But this gut has to be kept, this 1.5 kgs of organism have to be kept healthy by having a proper diet, a proper balanced diet. And these organisms, they decide what to do with the food that is coming, what should go where and how should they keep. So then see the best part, how Krishna has designed the entire world. These organisms which are present in the gut, they don't send everything to the liver for storage. No. They keep some part with them as reserve. And when there is emergency, they release that energy. So this mechanism which is created by Krishna, this mindset is called a jiva mindset. Means now he is not a jantu, he is not a parasite. He is thinking of others also, just like the gut, the organisms in the gut are thinking about the welfare of the entire body, every cell. So Krishna in 3.12 is saying, Ishtan bhogani vo deva dasyante yagya bhavita. Tair dattan apradayibhi yo bhungte stena evasa. He is calling a person a thief. Whom is he calling a thief? Ishtan bhogani vo deva. The demigods will give you everything that you desire. Dasyante yagya bhavita. How will they give you? They will give you when you perform yagya for the demigods. Now you have performed yagya for the demigods will fulfill you, they are pleased with you, they will give you what you desire. Okay. Now they will give you everything you desire. Te dattana pradayuga. Now you have to offer it back. Come on. I did sacrifice. I did all the rituals. I pleased the demigods. They gave me something in return. Now why should I offer? But if you don't offer, you're called as a thief. But I've done my sacrifice. Demigods gave you after you performed your yagya. So why is this offering back principle put in the picture? Now look at the broadness of Gita. People say that Gita is only about war and this and that. Dear sir, please read. This is 3.12. Whom are they expecting you to offer it back? They are expecting you to offer it back to the general masses who lack in those resources. This is called as giving back. And if you are not giving back, then that means you still have the mindset of a jantu, you are a miser. So serving others is embedded in our own Bhagavad Gita. So how to serve others? We may cook a lot of prasad, we may have a grand festival, and then we may distribute prasad and flower abhishek, and people are enjoying and dancing. This is giving back. And one who doesn't give back, it may be, you may say, I have done that hard work and that is why they give me. That is okay. But still you are bound as the laws of nature to give back some percent to the society. That is called as giving back. Help others uplift from their own position. When in India, our food for life, we serve 15 lakh plates per day of prasad offered to Krishna. We are giving back to the society. We are helping others uplift their consciousness. So that is the duty of the person who is progressing on the path of spiritual life. Otherwise, he is called as a thief. He is a stain. He is a chore. Because he is not thinking of others. He is only thinking of himself. He is taking from the nature and enjoying it for himself, using for his own sense enjoyment. That is why he is called as a thief. And that is what is exactly happening in the today's world. People are taking from the nature, but they are using it for the self. So they are thief. And Prabhupada gives example of the kings and the brahmanas. And that is why there is so much of chaotic situation in this, in the material world. Always distress for self and for others they are creating. Why? Because they are not the representatives of Lord Krishna. They haven't understood the entire process of Krishna consciousness. So Srimad Bhagavatam always displays the mindset of various kings who are inclined with the mindset of Krishna and who are not inclined with the mindset of Krishna. There are n number of examples. Like we can see so many examples. Hiranyakashipu and Ravana, they're not inclined. They're absolutely not inclined being the representative. They are controlling the three worlds, but they're not inclined with Krishna. And what is the end result? They get killed. Visivena Maharaj, trying to manipulate the entire laws of material nature, not representative of Krishna, got killed. On the contrary, we see extreme examples. Now, this is one extreme end, and there is other extreme end also. We see Shivi Maharaj. Shivi Maharaj cutting his own flesh and trying to save the person who is dependent on him. Absolutely required. Absolutely required. But that is the highest standard. Bhagavatam is presenting two extreme. One is Hiranyakashipu, Vena Maharaj, Ravan. Other side is Vishi, Shivi Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj, all these great personal extreme. 1 year of tapasya fasting for one person. Absolutely unbelievable, absolutely unthinkable. But two extreme ends are presented, and then we are told wherever you fit accordingly, you try and follow the rules as per your capacity. Bhagavat is all about extremes. Prahlad Maharaj crushed under the feet of elephant, thrown from top, burning oil, burning fire, snakes. Extreme. This doesn't happen in the real life. Maybe somewhere one thing may happen. Absolute extreme. Dhruva Maharaj going in for 6 months achieving Krishna. Extreme. It's extreme. It doesn't happen all the while. There is some mistake made by Chitraketu Maharaj, becomes a demon. Extreme. But extreme happens with those who are on that level, not with the general audience. But we see some are dharmic, but still not able to follow what Lord Krishna wants. Just like that, Kshaprajapati. He is making a grand yajna, just like here Krishna, Prabhupada is saying, king is doing all this for the welfare of the citizen. He did that entire yajna for the welfare of the citizen. But he didn't understand the mindset of Lord Krishna, and hence the entire event failed. It became a disaster. It became an absolute disaster. Why? Because he was following rules for his own ego. He started with a good purpose, but it ended on a very bad note. Because he really didn't understand the mindset of Krishna. And the last point Prabhupada is saying, is a very powerful point. Prabhupada here says, respecting the devotees. Respecting the devotees. That is what he didn't do. He didn't respect Lord Shiva, who was the greatest representative of Lord Krishna. Vaishnavanam Yatasham. We didn't do that. He wasn't humble. He didn't bow down. Okay, you may be his father-in-law. It's okay if you don't. But at least you should respect. That respect is required. He didn't do that. And he also got killed in the entire process. And there is one batch of devotees we see. Vibhishan, Prahlad, Dhruva. They didn't want, they had no interest in kingship. They said, we don't want all this. But still they were given. Why? Because they were ready. They understood the mind of Krishna, and Krishna wanted them to do this service. This is the example that we have to follow. We may not like doing some services which are necessary, but we are told to do it. This is the test of a sadhaka. Just like most of the people think that Kaikai was the reason behind all that happened in Ramayana. No, it was not Kaikai. It was not Kaikai, because in Ramayana, Valmiki is writing, he is quoting one shloka from the second canto, second khanda of Ramayana. Riteshva chodha pitra sarvasyanti purasyacha gatishcha sharanam chasit sa ramodhya pravatsyati. Kausalyayam yata yukto jananyam vartate sada tateva vartate asmasu janma prabhruti raghavah. She is saying this to whom? She is saying this to Kubja. She is saying this to Kubja. She said, Krityeshva chodita pitra sarvasyante purasyacha. He is saying, ki my dear Kubja, do you know that this Ram is treating me with more love and affection than his own mother? Dharmogya gunavan danta kritascha satyavakshuchi ramo rajasto jeshto yavarajyo mate arhati. And I desire the kingship for him. This is Kai Kai saying for Shri Ram. That was her deep love for Shri Ram. She is saying jeshto yuvarajya mato arhati. I expect him to become the king. Bhratrun bhratascha dirgayu pitruvrata palayishyati santasho katham kubjo. Kubja, she is saying to Kubja, Kubjo shritva ram rama bhi chechanam. I desire to see the rajyabhishek of Lord Ram. I want to see Bharat serving Lord Ram. That is my desire. She is saying this to Kubja. Yathavai Bharato manyastata bhuyopi raghava kausalya ato riktam chamam shushruto bahu. She is saying he serves me more than his own mother. Rajyam yadahi ramasya bharatyasya pitaddata. He says, I don't mind if Bharat doesn't get that kingdom. I'm not bothered about Bharat. Manyate hi yatha atmanam tatha bratrum tasas raghava. She's saying the best thing that would happen to Bharat is that Ram becomes the king and they become his servant and serve him as his assistant. This is from Ramayana, Valmiki Ramayana, quoted here. That is what Prabhupada is giving example. It is understood from Ramayana that when Vibhishan became friends with Lord Ramchandra, he promised that if by chance he broke the laws of friendship, he would become a Brahmana or a king in Kali Yuga. Means what? He would be having that papa. He will be having that sinful reaction of falling down from the standards. He didn't go to Ram to become king of Lanka. No. Prahlad didn't worship Lord Narsingdev to become the king. Dhruva said, I don't want it. I asked it, my Lord, but now I don't want it. I want to come back to you. And that is where Lord Vishnu says to Dhruva, no, you have to take this. You have to rule this for 36,000 years. Because people will feel that coming to Vishnu, they don't get anything. And I don't want my name to be tarnished. He said, take this and you rule for 36,000. He didn't want it, absolutely. So this is what is expected from a sadhaka. We may not like doing something, but when the emergency arises, we should be ready to do that for the pleasure of Guru, Krishna and Vaishnavas. The praja needed Vibhishan to be the king. The praja needed Prahlad to be the king. The praja needed Dhruva to be the king. And that is why they had to accept with a great heavy heart. They had to accept with a great heavy heart to become the king. Because Lord Krishna wanted them at please, please rule the citizens on my behalf. Tell them my message. And this is exactly what we see in the life of King Gaya. He gave full protection to the property of the citizens. And so they were undisturbed. Citizens are undisturbed when they know that what I have ordered will stay safe, will not be taken away by anything. And he provided them sufficient food, poshanam. He distributed them gift, preenam. He satisfied them with sweet words, upalalanam. He gave them good instruction, anushasanam. So when the king does all this, then the society is a happy society. Otherwise, there is no question of a happy society. If the king is not doing all this for the upliftment, not pleasure, upliftment of the society, they have to follow the rules. And that is why here is called as Mahapurusha, because he gave all the facilities for a happy living here and also for their spiritual growth. by allowing them to practice Krishna consciousness. So by practice of Krishna consciousness, we should understand that he is trying to develop them from one level to the another level. And we see this in the life of our Pandavas. We see that Arjun, when they were in exile, now already in exile, such a disturbing situation. And there is one Brahmana who comes in and he says that my Arani wood is lost. I find it for me. You are the king. I am your praja. You have to find. Now they are already in trouble, 14 years of exile. But see, they understood the importance of that Arani for that Brahmana. This is a king. So you may say, you go and make another Arani. Okay, but it takes time. It's time for my rituals to be performed. I have to do my rituals at a proper time. It may be a small thing, but it has a great importance. It has a great importance for that Brahmana, for that one individual. And this call has been taken for one individual. All the five brothers, they say, Arjuna, go and find. Let's all find. And they're all searching. But they're asking, how did you lose that Arani? He said, I hanged it over a tree. One deer came, one antelope came. And we know antelopes have very long horns. And he was scratching his head against that tree. And while scratching his horns, entangled in that Arani wood, and it turned it and it entered into his horns. And he was trying to move, but till then he saw me and he ran away from there. And that is how I lost my Arani wood. So look at the sensitivity of the king. It is as small a thing as an Arani wood. But they know the importance of that small thing for the spiritual upliftment of that person. So all the five Pandavas are now searching for that Arani wood and they are saying we are not able to find it. They started from morning and it's afternoon, still they are not finding, and everybody is depressed. All the five Pandavas are depressed. They say, we can't find such a small thing for a Brahmana. How are we going to help Lord Krishna establish the Dharma? All depressed. Can you imagine the Pandavas getting depressed? Because they have power, but they are not able to find a thing. They are not able to help a single person. How will they be able to help the entire praja whom Lord Krishna is going to hand them over a period of time? So their botheration is not that we failed. We don't want Krishna to fail. We are representatives of Lord Krishna. If we can't help one person, how are we going to help the entire praja? That is what is bothering them. That is what is creating the depression factor. The depression is not because I didn't get this, the devotees didn't respect me, I didn't get prasad in the temple, I was not called for Bhagavatam class, I was not called for allowing me to sing the aarti. No, that was not their issue. How will we help Lord Krishna in his mission if we are not able to do such a small thing? And then the pastime flows ahead where they become thirsty and they till Nakul go on top of the tree and find if there is some lake around. And then there he sees some swan sitting, then he understands there is a lake, and there he goes. And that is where the whole entire Yaksha Prashna starts. We have one more story. We know the story. One Brahmana comes running in the palace and he tells Arjuna, my cows are stolen. Without cows, how will I do my yajna? He would have said, I can give you thousands of cows, don't worry. No, that is his hard-earned wealth. They don't want to make their own people lazy by giving them facilities from the government fund. And this is exactly what is happening all over the world. This is exactly happening all over the world. I heard this from Chaitanya Charitamrita. They started a scheme in the US where teenage girls who would become pregnant were given some funds so that they could take care of the baby. And they thought that this would reduce the number of the teenage pregnancy. But later on the next year, they found that the number has risen because the girls were getting pregnant so that they could get funds. This is what is Kali Yuga. So Arjuna, he remembers that my Gandiva is in Yudhishthir Maharaj's room. He enters the room at the cost of getting banished for 12 years. Their government was not about distributing freebies to the people. They said, we will help you. You work hard when we return your things. You work hard and develop yourself spiritually. So the entire point here is, what is the glory of a king? Narina Bhushanam, Tarana Bhushanam Chandra. The glory of the moon is the stars. Narina Bhushanam Pati. What is the glory of a woman? Is her husband. Prithvya Bhushanam Rajnya. The glory of the earth is the king who is handling her. And what is the Vidya Sarvasya Bhushanam? And what is the glory of every single entity? The real knowledge, the extent of the real knowledge that is have, that is the glory of every individual. And acting accordingly, he will grow in his spiritual life. And there is very one very beautiful quote that comes in Shubhashit. Where does Lakshmi stay? People are behind money, every person is behind money. But they don't understand, where does she stay? Utsaha Sampannam Dirghasutri. One who is full with enthusiasm. Sampanna, Utsaha Sampanna, Dirghasutri is not lazy. Kriya Vididnya Vasaneshva Saktam. He is always into action. And he is into good activities. This is the main point. There Lakshmi comes. Otherwise, there are varieties of Lakshmi. There are Ashta Lakshmi. One Lakshmi comes. She comes as money, but takes away your peace. So all those people here in Nasik, we have grape. It is called as a wine city. Initially, it was called divine. Now it has become wine because a lot of grapes here. And all these people sell grapes to the wineries. They have become rich. But I can tell you hundreds and hundreds of examples, people coming here and crying before the altar, saying that there is no peace. They are doing hard work, but Vyasaneshwa Saktam, they are not into the right kind of activity. So this is the point that Prabhupada is highlighting in his purport. So I'll end with one last story where Krishna in Mahabharata, he sends all the five Pandavas in five different directions because he wants them to understand that Kali Yuga is soon approaching. So all five Pandavas are sent in five different directions, and all five of them see five very bewildering things. Yudhishthir Maharaj and all the five return, and Krishna asked, what did you see? So Yudhishthir Maharaj said, I saw a very amazing sight. He said, I saw elephant with two trunks. So he asked Krishna, what does this mean? Krishna says, people will speak one thing and do other to exploit the general masses in Kali Yuga. That is why you say, khane ke daat alag, dikhane ke daat alag. That belongs to the example of this elephant. Oh, then he understands. Arjuna comes running. He says, I saw Vedic mantras written on the wings of a bird. But that same bird on whose wings Vedic mantras were written was eating flesh. What does this mean? Krishna says, this indicates the Kali Yuga priest who will be filled with material desires and will perform rituals only to fulfill their material desires and exploit the devotees in the name of religion. And people will enjoy others dying so that they can get their wealth. This is what it indicates, the bird eating flesh. Then third, Bhima comes running and he came running and he's saying that, oh my God, Krishna, I saw one cow, she gave birth to a calf. And she was licking and licking and licking. She licked the entire body to such a great extent that the child started bleeding. What does this mean? Krishna says, this indicates the nature of the parents in Kali Yuga. They love their kids so much. They're attached to their kids so much that love itself becomes hazardous and dangerous for that child. It totally blocks the capacities and capabilities of that child. And they love them so much, so much. On the bodily platform, they love that child so much that they forget about the spiritual upliftment of their child. And that is what that bleeding means. They forget about the spiritual growth of that child. And this is exactly what we see. Even devotee parents we have seen. So attached, so fearful about their kids. What will happen? How will this happen? Will he become a devotee? That is not your part. That is not your part. You are not the controller of the child. You are a caretaker of the child. Krishna has handed over the child to you for some time. That child belongs to Krishna. We all have to come in the mindset of a caretaker. We are not the proprietors. The more you come in the mindset of a proprietor, that amount of pain you will have to suffer seeing the pain of your own child. That is called as overlicking. The child will start bleeding because of our own love. Then Sahadev comes running. He said, I saw one well in the center and four wells surrounding it. The four wells were filled with water. That is, were overflowing with water. But still, after they are overflowing, the well in the center remained dry. What does this mean? Krishna says, the society will be filled with rich people, but they will not distribute their well. They will allow it to overflow, but they will not allow it to enter the well which is dry. They will not sufficiently distribute in charity to the poor people. So poor will always remain poor in the age of Kali. And Nakula came. He said, I saw a big boulder. It came trampling every damn thing that came in its way. But this one big, huge boulder got stuck up in a small plant. What does this mean? Krishna says that this is how people will live in Kali Yuga. People will fall in character, and falling in character to gain some money and to gain some enjoyment, they will destroy anything and everything that comes on their path. And hence they lose their peace of mind and they lose their health and everything. But that small plant is compared to what? That small plant is compared to the chanting of the holy names of Lord Krishna. He says that whole boulder will get stuck to that small plant, because even though seemingly small, it has power to stop the great flow of anarthas. And that is the chanting of Hare Krishna. Krishna says this, that just one call of chanting to the Hare Krishna mantra, and Krishna says, I'll hold all the anarthas at the first call itself. That is why Prabhupada has given us that powerful holy name. One Shubhashitkar has written very wonderful shloka. Mano madukaro megho manina maduno marut. Ma madu markato matsyo. Makara dasha chanchala. There are 10 makar who are very chanchal. Mano, man, mind, so chanchal. Madukaro, honeybee, going from one to other. Megho, clouds always flowing, always flowing. Manina, a beautiful wife who has sulken. Mood changes. Madano, Kamdev, Marut, Vayu, Ma, Lakshmi, Mado. Mado means one who is intoxicated. Markato, monkey, Matsya, fish. Makara, Dasha, Chanchala. This, all these makaras are very chanchal. They cannot be stopped. So the Shubhashitkar is saying, Are Baba, all others can at least be held back. How about the first one, Mano? Then he writes at the end, man can only be controlled by mantra. And when the mind will settle at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, then that chanchalta will be gone. That is the beauty of Krishna's lotus feet. That is why Tukaram Maharaj saying, Ata kote dhave man, tuje charan dekhiya. He says, now I have seen your lotus feet, my Lord. Now my mind doesn't wander anywhere. That's all. So this is a beautiful purport written by our beloved Srila Prabhupada. There is described so many things in one purport, and that is the greatness of Srila Prabhupada. He has written so many wonderful purports even in Bhagavad Gita and tomorrow's Gita Jayanti. So let's pray to Lord Krishna that we get the true gist of what he wants to convey us through this great literature, where he himself has personally spoken for the welfare of all the living entities. Thank you all for your kind and patient hearing. Please excuse me if I have spoken beyond my realization or anything that has hurt you. I beg forgiveness from all the devotees. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, such a wonderfully wonderful explain, as you are saying, this is such a wonderful purpose. You have given so many live examples and stories also, Prabhuji. So we're grateful for that, Prabhuji. I really love that lady's story about that Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you for sharing that, Prabhuji. So do you have some time for some questions, Prabhuji? Some of them.
Yes, we have. We have 10 minutes.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Anuradha Mataji, you can please go ahead, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you. Anuradha Mataji, you're muted. Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you, Prabhuji, for the wonderful class. Very, very, very much needed. And thank you, Prabhu, again. Prabhu, I have like few questions. So the first thing is from the purport, if I got it correct, Prabhupada is saying that that if Vibhishan, if he does not keep friendship with Ram, he will become king or Brahmana in the age of Kali Yuga. So was there any instance where he did not keep up his friendship with Ram, Lord Ram?
No, Mataji. The purport, it is meant that what would happen if he breaks the friendship? He hasn't broken the friendship at any given point of time. Till date, he every day comes and worships Lord Jagannath and Lord Ranganath. Yeah. So he's just saying that this will happen if I break the promise that I'm giving to you. So he is explaining the repercussions of breaking of promise. He is not saying that in future maybe I may break. No, he is saying this is the repercussion that will happen if somebody breaks his promise with the Lord.
So Prabhu, because we still have Brahmanas and king in this Kali Yuga when they are corrupt. So I was just wondering, like, because of that I asked the question. So it is not on Vibhishan, right?
No.
Yeah.
So all those whom you see in the present condition as Brahmanas and kings, they have all fallen from their promise to Lord Krishna. They had piety, but somewhere they have done some things which are not in line with the Shastra, and hence we see them as such corrupt and rude rulers of their nations. So this is what Vibhishan is saying.
Okay.
And Prabhupada is mentioning in the part.
Okay. Yeah, thank you on that. Prabhu, so you said that, you know, if first you do yagya, after doing the yagya, you are saying that then you, when you get the result, you give it to others, right? Which shloka?
You share it with others.
Bhagavad Gita chapter 12, text 11 also says something similar, isn't it? If you cannot surrender to me, you know, at least give the results to somebody else. So is it on similar line, Prabhu?
Yes. Somewhere? So Krishna here, he's saying that whatever you are getting, ultimately Krishna is the sanctioner of your sacrifice as well.
Yes.
Okay. And there Krishna is saying that you give it to those people who are needy, those who need it. And here Krishna is saying that you give it to me.
Yes.
So there are two levels on which, if somebody is not on the level where he can directly do it something for Krishna, Krishna is saying, okay, if you don't want to connect to me, then connect to those who are connected to me. The poor people are also part and parcel of Krishna. So you help them. And most of the people are more happy doing philanthropy rather than directly coming to devotional service.
Yes. So
there are two grades of people.
Yeah. So chapter 12 also, the purport, sorry, the translation for 11th verse for chapter 12, you must be knowing it, Prabhu, just like it says, if, however, you are unable to work in this consciousness, which is like, you know, surrendering everything to Krishna, then you try act giving up all the result to others. So Prabhu, so both are, you're saying, in a different level, right?
Yeah, for different level of people, different instructions.
Correct. Which verse is third chapter, third or fourth chapter, you said, Prabhu, the one that you mentioned?
It is third chapter, Mataji, 12th shloka.
Okay. Oh, that is after when he says that if you do not offer anything to me and you honor
me. Yes. Okay. Yes. Sita, you know. Right.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for that. So the last, sorry, Prabhuji, for holding you back. The last thing, as you, one example that you gave about the mango, it was so wonderful analogy, Prabhu, because, you know, we try to push ourselves also and others also into Krishna consciousness. But if we push them without them honestly being surrendered from their own heart, it will go back, or it will not be as tasty as you were saying, the mango. So that's such a wonderful example. For at the same time, when you gave this example of Mataji, who was about to leave her body and the cancer patient, You know, Prabhuji, when we hear your class or many other classes on Bhagavatam, I have this desire, oh, I want to read like that. When we especially hear examples like that, I want to read like that. But as soon as the class is over, that desire also, of course, comes down. And then other things, we are being, especially a Grihastha, Mataji, all other responsibilities, they also come down upon us. That desire that has been, you know, risen up so high that I want to read like that, Mataji, and finish my work as soon as possible. It somewhere dies, and I'm scared that someday I will also die with that desire dying out. So, Prabhuji,
Prabhupada answers your questions by saying that if you don't have that desire, cultivate that desire so that you can have that desire. So don't worry, just have that desire and wait for the right time. Krishna will surely fulfill all your desires, where you will have quality time to spend with Srimad Bhagavatam. Even most of the time in temple also, there are so many guests coming and we also don't find time. But what we basically do is try to keep our morning program as quality, try to maintain the quality of morning program so that at least we have that nourishment and we don't slip down from our standards. So if we have good quality morning program and rest of the day, whenever and whatever time is possible for you to hear kirtan or lectures or read 5 minutes, 10 minutes, don't worry. Even that would be sufficient for you. Our Guru Maharaj, he used to read in between the aartis. Initially when he was in New Vrindavan, he used to read in between aartis. Are we that busy that we don't find time that we have to read in between the some household services? If that is there, even if you are that busy, still there is time. 5 minutes, 10 minutes. So you can read one shloka and meditate upon that shloka for whole day. Even that is Bhagavata. That will give you the same amount of realization. Prabhupada says, read one shloka and meditate upon it whole life. It will give you new realizations every single day. So it is not about reading and completing book. It is about meditation on that shloka, on that thought of Krishna. So that is more important than reading. Even if you don't complete Srimad Bhagavatam, it is not that you are not going back to Godhead. So it is about how much that is allowing you to think about the dynamism of bhakti and the dynamism of Krishna's relationship with the jiva. So that is where we have to focus rather than trying to complete the entire set.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. And I also seek your blessing for me and all of us on the call, because Bhakti Sangha is a family. So please bless us all, Prabhu, so that we can also...
Blessing Bhakti Sangha is beyond my capacity.
So that we can get that desire like that, Mataji, to reach Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna,
You all are worshipable for me, so it is difficult to fulfill your desire. And your prayer. But still, Mataji, I would share my heart that whenever I am doing service to Shri Shri Radha Madan Gopal, it is beyond any doubt that I am praying for every single one of you here on Bhakti Sangha Japan. It's not because I am boasting that I pray for all of you, but I know that you all are there in the Western world where Maya is in full swing and you all need so much of protection from Maya. So every time when I am there in altar, there is no doubt that I am not praying for all of you. I am always praying for every single devotee there. So that is my service.
You make our day, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for beautiful questions. And thank you so much, Prabhuji, for wonderful answers. And so thankful for praying for all, everyone. Hare Krishna. So you have more time, Prabhuji, for any questions or realizations?
No, Mataji. It's again. Anybody has any question, we can take. Otherwise,
madam. Shyamagauri Mataji, you want to talk anything?
Hare Krishna, Babuji. I don't have a question, but I just want to appreciate your class. Very, very wonderful and very nice story. So, Babuji, I didn't understand why this Pandavas went in depression.
They were depressed because they were concerned that if we can't help one Brahmana achieve the basic needs of his life, then how are we going to fulfill the desire of Lord Krishna to establish dharma? So that is what caused them depression. So that is what they were thinking, that we won't be able to help Krishna. So that is what was causing pain to them.
What happened to that Brahmana about his cow?
He lost his Arani wood. Arani te mataji asta na apan ghasun don lakda ghasun agni tayar karto yagya sathi.
Ha
ha ha. Ha ha. Tar tyacha harin padun gheun jato.
Oh, okay.
मग त्याच्यामुळे त्याला यज्ञ करता येत नाही सकाळचं आणि तो सकाळी त्यांच्याकडे येतो की ते हरिण पळून घेऊन गेलं तर तुम्ही मला परत आणून देते की कारण तुम्ही राजा आहात आणि राजाचं काम आहे प्रजेची सुरक्षा करणं आणि ते जर मी नाही केलं तर माझे ब्राह्मण कर्म मी नाही करू शकत. सो टू सॅटिस्फाय वन पर्सन दे टूक दॅट होल एंडेवर.
I wish we have the kings like Pandavas now. is going.
Yes, Bhakti Sangha Japa Conference has so many devotees. They can surely create many Pandavas.
I don't know.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for giving this opportunity. So grateful to all of us.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu Dandavat.
Yes, Prabhuji, Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhuji, go ahead. Do you have any questions to Prabhuji? Okay. If nobody have any question. Yes, Mataji, you have
we any? Can, we can end, Mataji.
Okay. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. With your permission, we can end the call here. Thank you once
thank
again
you so
for
much.
Your very valuable time and association. Let's pay our obeisances to Prabhuji and all the devotees in the call. Vancha, Kalpatarupyasya, Kriyasya,
Kriyasya,
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much. Very wonderful class.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone, for joining.
Radhe, Radhe.
Radhe, 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 Prabhuji.
Radhe, Radhe.
Radhe, Radhe.
Radhe, Radhe. We'll end here. Thank you all for joining.
Thank you, Indu Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Yes.